Hello and welcome to The Curb. My name is Nadine Whitney and today I am speaking with Sophie Somerville, writer, director and editor of Hangout Movie Friends, which was filmed in Nam on the land of the Kulin Nation. And I would like at this time to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land and send my honour and appreciation and respect to elders past, present and emerging. Before we get into the podcast, it's important to note that The Curb is a completely independently funded website and we rely on listeners and readers like you to keep going. So if you have an opportunity to rate the podcast on whatever app you use or to join our Patreon for as little as $1 a month or to simply just share the work that you've come across, we'd really appreciate it. It's people like you that we do this for, and we do it with love and admiration for the films that we engage with and the audiences that we hope also find those wonderful pieces of art. So without further ado, here is Sophie Somerville.
Can you please teach me how to stop biting my nails? Please. I beg you.
What's this? A corner?
Yeah, I'm at the corner of the street.
Oh my gosh, sorry. I love you.
We are so lost right now.
First grade.
This is where you're gonna sleep?
So this is like in case, you know, you need a bit of warmth. Did I leave? Do you have my keys?
No.
Is that the time?
I'm not staying out until the morning.
No, I mean, why not? It's Saturday. No. It's the weekend.
Wall mirror.
Let's make a shape together.
Like, you've got this cool lawyer, high-paying job.
My boss slapped me on the ass. It's like a little rite of passage, you know?
It should not be that way.
You have these things of like, I will have a good job, I will have stability, I will have a house.
And then you're like, I won't have a house.
And then you go, the whole plumbing's gonna be underwater anyway. Like, what is the point?
I know a much better spot. Come on.
How do you have so much energy?
Oh, no phones. No phones here.
Well, you've not done caps before.
How long is it gonna take until I feel?
Hi, I'm Nadine Whitney, and I am here speaking to Sophie Somerville about her debut feature, Friends. Sophie is actually quite an established director within the shorts genre. She has had two quite excellent shorts, both concentrating on sort of the younger teenage years. But in Friends, she brings it into young adults who are finally kind of really finding themselves out of what they thought were their safety nests and into the real world. So, Sophie, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you going?
I'm fine and dandy. Now, Sophie, I've obviously seen the film and I'm aware to an extent of your process, that you shot it in chronological order and that almost all the dialogue is generated by the actors. Can you tell me what kind of definitions did you give them to build up their characters as Em and Jess, and kind of, at what point were you just saying, these are the, because, you're a writer as well, these are the things that, the situations that we're dealing with, how do you want to discuss them?
Yeah, it's, It's sort of an interesting process to describe because I think Emmanuel and Melissa approached it in a way that was so playful and open-minded, and sort of we sort of it's sort of a lot of the discussions that we had around these two characters was that we would sort of let go of this idea that there's a character and then there's you, and there's sort of no separation between those two things. Like we sort of approached these two characters being like, well, we know inevitably that part of Jesse will be Melissa and part of Emmanuel M will be Emmanuel, and we're going to kind of let that bleed through, and that authenticity and that sort of accidental nature kind of form the fabric of those two characters, rather than being like, oh, she wouldn't do that. That's, you know, sort of. And I think, yeah, I sort of tell people that it was kind of like a fictional documentary, because it was like we sort of created these fictional characters, but then we shot them in a way that is kind of doco style, where you're sort of reacting to events and reacting to what you're being given, as opposed to fictional filmmaking, where you're being very like, well, this is the way the story goes, and you know, we're gonna fit the character into this exact scene. Yeah, does that make
It
sense?
does make sense, and I know that chance was a big part of how the film ended up coming together. Clown Guy, for example, was chance. You just kind of came across him on the bridge, and there he was, and he stayed. And so that I think is kind of part of the freedom of youth, that happened to me a long time ago. But you know, that sense of, okay, this person's here now, and we'll just have them around. You know, they seem cool and fine. And considering Jess really doesn't know what she's doing in terms of taking Emma around Melbourne, there is that wonderful fortuitousness of coming across such a distinct Melbourne personality, like I guess edge personality, like the clown guy. So when you're given these opportunities, did you just say, right, we have to go with it because it's the more natural thing that people would do who are searching for something in their lives?
Yeah, I think when we came across Jason, who plays the clown, I was very excited because I sort of knew that we wanted something to happen that would kind of challenge Em's conception of the world, and sort of the rules that she's created in her head about how the world is. And yeah, it was really, really fun to sort of have the freedom to be like, you know what, we're gonna add this guy into the scene. And it's the kind of freedom that we had because we were working in such a low budget space. Like we were sort of making this film in a very safe bubble that, like while we were making it, we didn't really know if it would be finished or if it would be seen around the world. It was sort of more just being like, let's create this opportunity for ourselves and not have too much expectation around, oh, this needs to launch our, you know, this needs to be this big statement, this massive thing. And because of that lack of stakes, that's what gave me the confidence to make really sort of spur of the moment decisions, to just be like, okay, let's get that guy in, we'll get them to talk, we won't discuss this scene, we're just going to start rolling, sort of to have that kind of looseness and that spontaneity, which has been so valuable. Because for my next film, I obviously won't have that level of freedom, but I sort of want to be able to incorporate the sort of boldness and bravery that I was able to learn in that sort of safe filmmaking bubble.
Well, I guess safe is relative, in that you were doing it for yourself, but you know, also you were doing it with other people, and you know, you may not have had expectations of it being finished, but It's still something that you put a lot of yourself into, and even if, five people see it, you're still, you're still giving your baby out into the world, and that can be quite frightening. You have had universally good responses to the film, though. So, how does that feel to know that people have found something very authentic and specific in it, and all over the world relate to it?
Yeah, it's been really, really, really special. I think we didn't have, when we finished the film, I felt very self-conscious and scared about it because I didn't really know if it would speak in a language or that people on the other side of the world would find interesting or relevant or cutting edge or all those things. Because you always think of cool filmmakers as not you. You're like, oh, we're not the cool ones. But like after making friends, we were like, oh, like we're cool. We did something really, really cool. We made a film that like has that kind of rebellious punk energy, and it's from Australia. And it's been so cool to connect with different people from different countries over the shared experiences of Em and Jesse, because the experiences that they're having, they are Australian, but they're also just two young women in the globalized world, living in cities, experiencing things that two young women in cities experience all over the world. So it's been so, so cool to kind of connect with people, different countries, and have that kind of warm embrace towards our work. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the two young women living in Australia having kind of, quite typical Gen Z, younger millennial experiences, that's very true. True, I don't need to put very in front of it. That's true because what they've inherited is a sense of there will be a specific order to things. You get your law degree, and everybody's spoken about, feminism and safety, and or you find your new apartment in Melbourne and you make friends, but those things don't naturally bloom as much as they used to, I think, in for certainly in my generation, Gen X, we lost the rule book as well, but we formed sort of tighter communities in many ways, merely because, we had to make the effort to go outside and see people.
Absolutely.
And we were, I guess, the people who were helping to define what the rules are now, but because we were never particularly successful at it, people don't even know we exist. They all think we're boomers. we've kind of dropped the ball in helping to foster the younger people and the talent, because we're like, well, we had it tough. You can sort it out too, and I feel that that's something that Em's coming to terms with very much within her situation at her law pra at the law practice that she's working in, and something that Jess is coming to terms with in just her isolation and her inability to find anyone to speak about her mental health with. Am I going completely off the rails here
No.
with
Yeah. No, that's super, super interesting. Something I got asked with friends when it played at the forum, like the Berlin the forum program. They have critics there, and someone I did an interview and they sort of asked me like, do you think it's harder for people to be in their 20s now than it was, say, in the 90s or in previous generations? And it's sort of hard to be asked that, but like it's sort of hard for me to answer that because I don't know. But it's so interesting hearing that, the Gen X sort of perspective on the film, that like, yeah, there is this sense that they've been kind of left to fend for themselves. And it's true, like Em and Jesse do feel they feel really alone in the way that they are dealing with the pressures that they're under. Like Em feels this sense that there's no one at work to talk to about what's happened. And yeah, Jesse does feel like, yeah, she does feel so alone. And yeah, I hope that that changes. Yeah.
I hope it changes too. In a lot of ways, what you see in terms of changing even exists within your film. That you know that they have some time together in Jess's apartment to talk and to play and to argue slightly and to do all those things, but they also take the steps to be outside in the world and experience the randomness of it and the accidental beauty. Because honestly, Jess has no idea where she's going. You know, as a Melbourne person, I was like, "What are you doing? Where are like?" If you're trying to get to the botanical gardens, the library is not the
Yeah, I do think for Melbourne viewers it must like tickle a certain part of their brain in a particular way where you're like, you would not go that way.
Well, it, to me, that just explained how little Jess had made of her time in Melbourne, because she was in a relationship, and the relationship sort of was the central thing. And when that relationship fell apart, you know, there wasn't much else for her to do, and she is so isolated and she is depressed. So it just it made sense to me as the narrative progressed as to why she's taking this sort of winding journey around Melbourne, because she herself doesn't really know it.
And she feels this kind of pressure to perform this like competence of like, oh, this is my city, I'm showing you around. And the truth is that she doesn't really know what she's doing. She's just kind of faking it.
And isn't it the truth that really most of us don't know what we're doing? And that's what you caught too as well. You know, you might be in your early 20s and you might have the job and you know you got the degree, but you know where things go from there is incredibly uncertain in an era where you don't know whether you're going to have a planet in 20 years. You know you'll never be able to afford a house. You know, the political discourse has become so heightened that it's overwhelming and people just get back out. That communities are fracturing all over the place.
Yeah,
And
and you feel this pressure to perform this sense that you're handling it, that you're like, ah, you know, I've got all these mental health problems, but don't worry, I'm not going to talk about, you know, I'm not going to burden you with them. I'm just going to kind of show you around and make sure you're having a good time.
that's it too, because we live curated lives online and we watch people's curated lives online and believe that, well, I think we're probably smart enough not to believe it anymore, but still, you know, have a sense that everybody's having a better time than you are, and everybody's looking better than you are, and everybody's, you know, waking up and ready to get on with their day, and you might be just struggling with, you know, a crushing sense of insecurity, imposter syndrome, all those kinds of things. And I think this is what any age group is going to get out of friends is that sense that none of us have it together, you know.
I mean, that was something I really I'm glad that comes across, because I think it's something that we need to be reminded of all the time. And also just that, like, every person has their own complicated shit, like that you have your complicated shit and that person has theirs, and you know, just sort of a reminder that you should always approach people with compassion and curiosity rather than being rushing to judge and, get angry at things you don't understand.
Certainly, certainly. So you edited the film. So in effect, that is another form of authorship, putting it together. So directing, writing, obviously camera, the camera was under your direction as you went through all the different spaces. But editing again becomes another level of authorship because you decide what you keep and what you change. When you got to editing the piece, because it had been a fairly, well, you said a guerrilla-like shoot, a bit of, fairly loose shoot. How did you approach creating a kind of tighter narrative within the edit? What did you get rid of? What did you think was important that had to stay?
I got rid of so the bit where they're sort of meandering around the city in the beginning. We sort of shot a bit of extra stuff where they sort of are sort of getting lost, and I cut that down a bit because I realized that that was just kind of wasting time until we get to the more interesting sort of meat of the film. And then sort of the way it was shot, some scenes we'd have like a couple of takes and then that would be it, and we'd be like, this is the one we're using, and then others we'd have like 15, 16. So it was quite just sort of each scene had sort of different needs. And yeah, like editing was actually, because we were quite limited in terms of time, we only had 10 days to shoot, so there was only so much extra stuff that we had time to shoot. So in some ways the edit was simple because while we were shooting I had to be so meticulous and so sort of strict about being like, okay, this is the one way we can shoot this scene, there's no other ways, we just have to do that and then we have to move on. Which meant that in the edit I was just forced to be like, okay, this is the scene and I don't have the ability to get a different angle or different coverage or anything. So in that sense it made some of the edit really simple. And then, I mean, there's another bit. There's the crazy nightclub sequence that was a very different editing style, which was actually super fun because it was sort of more an artistic kind of no wrong answers, sort of just throw shit at the wall kind of moment in the film, which I loved doing so much because it was just like playtime. It's just like, here we go, let's just mess all the footage around.
That was a great scene. And honestly, kids, if you haven't taken some drugs and gone out dancing, what are you doing with your lives?
It's therapeutic.
Exactly. No, at least look at microdosing. Just for the listeners out there, I am not actively encouraging you to take drugs. Please ignore that. I'm also not actively encouraging you if you take drugs. Do what you like. Now, there are things that I recognize as sort of anarchic sense that I got from films like Vera Shatova's Daisies and Jacques Rivette's Celine and Julie Go Boating. And there's a section where you actually have a voiceover in French, which is a nice little, I think, touch to sort of film historians in a way that they're going, ah, yes, the nouveau vague of this all. Can you tell me, are these directors people that you were interested in? And because it's a, Daisies especially and Celine and Julia both about, two women navigating their different pressures and a world, especially in Daisies, that they have to destroy because it's going to destroy them.
I mean, I love Daisy so much. That film rules, and I think Gen Y need to see it if they haven't seen it, because I think there's something about the really rebellious anarchic energy in that film that I think Generation Y, wait, no, not is it Gen Z? I got them confused.
Zeds, yeah,
Gen,
Zeds, and
yeah,
then there
Gen
are
Y is all,
alphas. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't.
Gen Z Alpha. They need to see that film. Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a film, I'm not the most knowledgeable film buff, but I do love that sort of era of filmmaking because they were so bold and they were so sort of ready to challenge the power structures that sort of loomed above them and be like, this is fucked, look at this. Which I think is something that Generation Z are doing in online spaces and in sort of internet humor, but I think that in our filmmaking, we should also be doing because it's so important that we kind of define ourselves. And we sort of fight for our freedom and our humanity in a time where our humanity is kind of under threat from, AI and terrifying fascist governments in other countries. So,
And governments in our own countries getting upset
yeah.
over a Joy Division t-shirt. I mean,
Yeah.
like, dude, that we're at we yeah. And I think too that the online spaces are good to an extent, but also not good to an extent because there's always a point where you're still anonymizing yourself. Like, no matter how honest you are, you're behind a screen, and it's easy to be depersonalized within that milieu. To You can talk to somebody in the Czech Republic, anytime. You've got all the information in the world, but it's just as easy to feel that you don't really exist within those places, which I brought up before with the kind of Instagram life.
Yeah,
So
I mean, those spaces are run by corporations like TikTok and Instagram and all that. Like even though they kind of express this kind of like, oh, you can express your authentic self, it's like it's always controlled by some company in China. And I think like yeah, like what I think Gen Z need to get into film. Maybe I'm getting off track a little bit here, but I think Gen Z need
no,
to get into
just
film more because they need to have like an individual voice that isn't like kind of puppeteered by a big corporation. Like you need to not be puppeteered. You need to speak for yourself on your own terms.
yeah, well, we have no expectation of privacy anymore, and that's frightening that we're all just like, yeah, you've got our information.
Yeah.
Let me give you more information so you can better put 1,000 ads into whatever feed I'm looking at, and know exactly when my buying habits are, so know when to push those things, and we are the product in that, and when you're
Yeah.
the product, you don't have a lot of say, and yeah, that's why I think having the two young women and friends just hanging out and vibing in the garden and the botanical gardens and going out and dancing and sitting together and revealing their truths as people together in one space is so important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, making the film sort of did make me really reflect on how I need to do that more with my own relationships and how I it's sort of yeah, it's sort of it was like, oh, maybe I actually need to reconnect with my friends and have, quality time with them. Because yeah, it does. I mean, I hope it has that effect on other people as well. It just makes you sort of realize how fundamentally important and life-giving those relationships are.
Yeah, and to be sharing with somebody you can sit next to, it's just it's so important, and I think your film makes that point very well because, they've hidden their pain from each other over time and from other people as well. So there is a radical truth to the film, not only in its style, but also the radical truth of, spending time with people who can see your expression and who can feel your mood is great and essential.
Well, very nice.
Yeah, that's what I get the big bucks for, Sophie.
Well,
I am kidding. Why do you feel that audiences should come and experience Friends? What is it that you personally really want them to grasp onto and to relate to?
I think that different people take different things away from the film. I think some people who are other filmmakers are sort of just inspired by the process and the fact that we made it ourselves with very little money. And then I think young women who really feel seen and heard and represented by the film just really connect with the people in the film. But I think it's not just a film that is for young women in their 20s. I think that lots of people from different generations have connected with it. I think if you're an old man who likes films from like an earlier period of time that you may not have that remind you of it when you were young, maybe go see it. That if you are I think there's something to like. Even if you think it's the kind of film that you wouldn't normally be into, like some people have been like, oh, I don't normally like conversation films, but I gave it a check. I checked it out. So I don't know. I think it's a film that can meet you on different levels, and has a lot of richness and life and joy in it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have been harping on about, isolation and fractured identities, and I haven't actually said yes. And this film is also a lot of fun. And you can really feel that, just, as the kids say, just the vibe. Just the vibe of being in a curated nature. The gardens are lovely, or making the mistakes of going to the wrong places within the inner city. There are always, like, the Surrealists had this thing where, with the Arcades project, of just, these surprises that you find when you just wander. And I think there's also a sense of that even though they're lost, there's a possibility of finding something quite
Yeah, and there's
sincere
fun
and
to be had in
important.
being lost. Like these two characters are both lost, and they're sort of both on the kind of kaleidoscopic journey that ensues as a result of being lost. So to sort of approach that moment in your lives, especially in your 20s, where you feel incredibly lost. That's also some of the most fun experiences in your life you will have in that moment, in that time, in that period.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is something that goes through generations, generations, that there is always discovery and curiosity, even in the less happy part of your life, that can enliven you and bring you to something more important. So, thank you so much, Sophie, for joining me. Tell me where people can see the film and when.
Cinema Nova, 7th of November, Friday. We're doing Fridays for friends, so it's
Okay, now
Spotify.
I'm going to have to, like, why Friends? Why the W?
It's just a cute girly way of saying my friend, and I sort of put it in as a sort of a placeholder title while I was trying to think of a better name, and then I never did, and I just left it as Flens because I was like, I like it. it's been fun to sort of explain that to European critics who've never heard the word before. It's been a very interesting time doing that.
So, Friend Friday at the
Yeah, so
Nova.
Friday, Cinema Nova, and also Dendy Newtown in Sydney, and it'll be on Fridays in November for we'll see how long, and then also Brisbane Film Festival. We're heading there at the end of November, so if you're in Brisbane, come see it then. And hopefully, we were just at Adelaide Film Festival, and I know there was an awesome crowd in Adelaide, so hopefully we'll get some screenings in Adelaide later as well.
Yeah, Red Alert is very cool, and
Yeah.
the Movie Juice people have the same kind of I guess approach to filmmaking that you do to an extent. Have you seen Paco, for example?
No, but I've heard of them. I've heard they're really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of talent rising, so you're on a wave. You
Cool.
aren't alone
I'm
in
good
any sense.
to
Yeah, it was awesome. Sophie, I hope we're friends now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's important that I feel that I am relatable and you're relatable and we're also a mess. So,
Yeah.
we're friends.
Yeah, that's fine.